what we've seen since the killing of Mahsa Amini has been the extraordinary courage of Iranian young people, especially women, who've been leading these protests, standing up for the right to be able to say what they want to say, wear what they want to wear. And so if the regime has now responded in some fashion to those protests, that could be a positive thing, but we have to see how it actually plays out in practice and what the Iranian people think. This is about them and it's up to them.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking with Face the Nation yesterday morning. There are conflicting reports from Iran about the state of their morality police. Iran's attorney general claimed this weekend that the team in charge of enforcing the country's strict dress code has been abolished. However, Iran's state-sponsored news media says his words were misinterpreted. If true, though, the abolition of the morality police would be a huge concession to protesters. They've been demonstrating for roughly 3 months over the death of Mahsa Amini, the 22-year-old who died in the custody of the morality police back in September after she was arrested for improperly wearing her hijab. Joining us now to talk about this is Arzu Osanlu. She's the director of the University of Washington Middle East Center. Welcome to Press Play.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Okay, so what do you make of these conflicting reports? What's happening, as you can understand it, in Iran today?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that there is some talk of a concession. I wouldn't call it a huge concession, and they're certainly not. The person who spoke, the Attorney General, Prosecutor Jafar Montazeri, is not in a position to determine whether the Guidance Patrol or Gashti Irshad will be closed down. This is not within the purview of what Montazeri can do. And that was the clarification that later was made, that this is a unit within the police and it is supervised by the Interior Ministry. What this tells us, though, is that they are definitely conflicted, just like the conflicting reports show. There are people who are talking about making some changes. The problem is, this would have been a huge concession maybe back in September, but I think now the intensity of the protests tells us that this is about much more.
Interesting. Well, let's just talk about the purview of the morality police. We know that they govern what women wear in public. What else do they do?
So what they do is they go around and they're made up of some men and even women, and they make sure that the public is in conformity with the social mores as determined by the interpreters of the Islamic government.
So it could be a lot of things beyond just wearing a hijab properly or improperly.
Oh, yes. I mean, they stop. I mean, I have cousins there and their brother and sister, and they were stopped because of, you know, they weren't, they asked them to see whether, you know, what their relationship was. So that could happen. People who are in like public places, you know, shopping centers and subway stations, they can be deemed improperly dressed. It is supposed to apply to men, though, as well. I mean, I've always been shocked when I've been in Iran, but it is mostly directed at how women are dressed. And that's because for a very long time and throughout many parts of the world, women are sort of the symbols of the society's moral chastity, if you will, or moral culture. And so the emphasis is really on the women, but the law, which is a law that goes back to 1981, the compulsory hijab law, it's not supposed to only be limited to women.
But in practice, as you say, it seems to be primarily directed at women. What would happen if the morality police were disbanded? Would it mean that the laws undergirding this would also falter?
No, that's the problem. So the problem is the laws and the Gashti Irshad, the guidance patrol would be the right translation. They have only been around since 2005. Since the mandatory hijab law, there have been these, whether they're police forces or even sort of the paramilitia, the Basij, they have been part of the broader regulatory force, a paramilitary regulatory force that is actually trying to enforce what is a Muslim maxim, an Islamic maxim, but also a tenet is in the Constitution, which is the maxim of Amr bi Ma'ruf wa Nahi an Munkar, which means enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And there was actually a law passed in 2014 by Iran's parliament that actually allows civilians to go up to other civilians and say, hey, you know, you need to fix your hijab. So unless and until these kinds of daily harassments that are permitted under the broader law of the hijab law, but also this interpretation of this Islamic maxim, there will be, you know, likelihood of surveillance and harassment and arrest. It will continue.
Right. And meanwhile, hundreds of people have lost their lives in this 3-month protest. Thousands of people have been arrested. Where do you see the protests going?
I mean, it's really hard for me to say, but what I have seen, even, you know, in the short time frame when people said, oh, this has been disbanded, was they said, this is not enough. It's too little, too late. I think that we have to leave it up to the people of Iran and the women who are leading this to make that determination, what it is that will be sufficient for them.
What do you think? Because you go to do research and you visit and you have family there. You go there very frequently every year, as I understand it.
Yes.
What is your sense as you take the temperature informally and maybe as also part of your research?
It's not enough. It's not enough to disband the guidance patrol. And at this point, I'm not even sure that it's enough to get rid of the mandatory hijab law. That would be a much bigger concession. But what people are saying is that's not enough either.
And they're willing to continue mounting protests throughout the country at significant risk to themselves.
At enormous risk to themselves, and I don't see it stopping. I mean, we're in the midst of a 3-day general strike. Wow. I think also there was an important letter by a political prisoner, Nasrin Sotoudeh, today, a women's rights activist, who said, you know, all political prisoners have to be freed, and we have to make sure that anybody, particularly the minority ethnic groups who have been or are maybe subject to the death penalty, are freed. And that's another thing to think about. There's a lot of people who are imprisoned. Many people have been tortured. They have been, you know, just we're hearing all kinds of horror stories. And so there needs to be some accountability for this.
Yeah, more than 18,000 people have been arrested in these protests.
That's right. That's right.
Extraordinary. Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for amplifying this issue, which is so important to many of us.
Absolutely. Arzu Osanlu, she's the director of the University of Washington Middle East Center. Coming up, a different Supreme Court hears a familiar case. Can a business owner refuse to serve same-sex couples on religious grounds? That's next on Press Play.